with the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man.
Welcome to Leisure Man Podcast, NBC Sports. I'm Andrew Perloff. He's Paul Pabst. It is NFL playoff time, national title game coming up, and you'd think we'd be in the best mood. We're the Leisure Man. We love football. We love food. We love everything related to football, and yet I sense sadness in the room.
Sport, almost like a sports, I don't like to use the word depression because that's not fair, but a sports malaise. It's, you know, you and I both have teams in the NFL playoffs, the Bears and the Eagles. And, you know, college football, I think more is bumming for me because college football is just about done. We're really hoping the national title game will be great. It looks pretty good. It looks really good on paper. But I think everyone gets so charged up in the NFL and college football, but mostly NFL, for the season. You get so ramped up for it. It's almost like you ever been on a roller coaster and you're having a blast, and you're having a blast, and you come out of that last turn and you start to see the people in line for the next round of the roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
You realize the ride is over, even though you're still going on the last 10% of the ride.
Except that's pure relief for me.
Oh, no.
Are you a roller coaster guy?
I like roller coasters a lot.
When's the last time you've been on a big, scary one? It's not as easy at our age,
no,
I'm telling you.
I would say probably age 20.
21. Oh,
it's
man.
Been a long time.
My daughter is into roller coasters, and I will
Your
be
older daughter?
My older daughter is 8. She wants to go to, like, Six Flags and go down, like, the Monster or something.
See,
I can't do it.
I find roller coasters the least threatening of amusement park rides because you do some, you know, circles and some ups and downs and some, you know, deep dives and stuff like that, but you're not spun around until you throw up all over yourself. So I'm much more in fear of those small town carnival rides like the Tilt-A-Whirl,
yeah,
where their only goal is to make you violently ill.
Got it. Yeah, like sometimes you get on teacups that are moving really fast. Yeah, I'm not a fan of those either.
I'd rather, and I'm being serious, literally jump out of an airplane than ride the teacups at like a small town carnival. The teacups, I know I'm going to throw up on you.
Quick aside, there's a ski mountain called Jay Peak Resort in
the
Berkshires.
Been there.
Yeah, it's in the summer, they turn their mountain into an amusement park. There's this one ride where you basically, they lift a chair about 60 feet in the air and they make a gigantic swing out of it.
Like a pendulum.
A pendulum. So I did it last year. I was green for 4 hours afterwards. I could barely walk or talk. My daughter was fine. She was like whistling. I was so sick.
They do this same thing, this pendulum swing at Bromley Mountain in southern Vermont. And it looks very benign. Like it's very small. There's kids of all ages doing it. And I went up and I went down and then my stomach started to get a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're so weak. All right, back to the football. Football malaise, football sadness. Now, we're both big fans. I love the offseason, but that's not the same.
I don't aspire to get to the offseason.
Yeah, the Monday after the Super Bowl is the worst day of the year. I think name a worse day.
See, I'm more bummed now. It's almost like the home stretch. Once the offseason starts, you take a couple days off, and then you get into draft talk and free agency talk, and that involves every team. It's almost like...
Yeah, so the season opens up again. I see what
you're
saying.
What I find weird as a grown man is I don't recall what I do in February, March, April, May, June, July, and August on weekends. I mean, I don't watch that much Netflix. I spend a reasonable amount of time with my family. I do a little bit of yard work. But, you know, when I used to watch 14 hours of college football on a Saturday, I now do what?
I have no idea.
Do you recall what you do on Saturdays?
Something always comes up, like a trip.
Yeah, you like to take your kids to museums, which burns a few hours.
Yeah, I'm a big museum guy. That's fun. But still, there's 4 months that are unaccounted for right now. Like, what happens between... Well, there's March Madness.
Right.
That's a big chunk of time.
Yeah. Yeah, that helps. That kills
then
March.
Summer, things are weird. You're outside, and you're not watching TV.
I don't know if that's completely true.
Yeah, what are we doing in May? Okay, after the NFL draft.
Like, what do you do all month in February?
February goes fast.
I do a lot of snowboarding and Vermont stuff. But
we're going to a golf tournament the week after the Super Bowl. February is a short month.
Yeah.
It's gone really quickly. Right, there's a family vacation. Hey, can I come up for a second ski trip, by the way, this season?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, what's the best time? March?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
We'd like to go at the end of the season when the crowds aren't crazy. I mean, it's just us talking.
You guys are welcome. You've been up to Vermont many times.
So, NFL.
I got something for you. You know, there's this new AAF, the Alliance of American Football. It's the Spring Football League that it's Charlie Ebersol and his crew. And it's really interesting because I liked the USFL back in the day. When I was young, I couldn't get enough football. I had nothing to do in the spring. You know, I didn't really study. Girls didn't hang out with me. I didn't have a car yet. Wasn't in a beer yet. I was 12, 13, 14. I loved the USFL. I watched all the games, all the teams, and I had my Chicago Blitz. I think this it's pretty decent timing for this spring league because there's not enough football. The NFL doesn't look like they're going to expand regular season. I don't think they're going to do it. And the fact that this new spring football league is not in opposition to the NFL, it's completely complementary and probably going to – it's going to be – I don't know this for a fact – like a feeder league. And the fact that they're using towns like Memphis, Birmingham, hardcore football towns that don't have pro football teams.
It's interesting. I heard from someone that the NFL, last NFL owners meeting, they had one of the agenda items was – how do we deal with the spring leagues? And not how do we deal with, but how do we partner up with them? It seems to me like the Alliance is going to be the one that works.
Is that what we call it, the Alliance?
I like calling it the Alliance.
Oh, I like that.
The Alliance.
Hey, you want to come over and watch some Alliance this weekend?
Yeah, exactly. So I think I have a sense that this is really going to work in conjunction with the NFL. You and I argue. I actually disagree with you on one thing. We often argue, not college versus pro, just as like I think everything, football, all ships are raised. The better college does, the better pro does. The better pro does, the better college does. So I think the better spring does, the better fall. I don't think, if NFL's smart, they would not view this as a threat, and I don't think they do.
I don't think they do. I think this is a complete partnership, because if you watched that draft, I think it was on CBS Sports Network, they had a draft. Kurt Warner was there.
Yeah.
He's the face of that storyline where you go from this small league to the big time and become a Hall of Famer. And they had Hines Ward was there, and it's very NFL represented. I don't know if there's an ironclad deal between these two leagues, but they're going to get local players. Like if there's a quarterback from Arizona, he's going to play for the Arizona Hotshots.
Yeah,
that's really smart because then you get the local fans who recognize the quarterback. Once you have the quarterback, everything else falls into place.
Yeah, we know some of the quarterbacks. Josh Johnson, who of course came on with the Redskins. You know, Christian Hackenberg, Zach Mettenberger. You know, the quarterback. That's a funny thing. Like, they were smart. They started off with just a quarterback draft because, and if you go back to the USFL, yeah, there were a couple stars who were non-quarterbacks, but I remember all the quarterbacks. Doug Williams. Was Doug Williams in
there? Oh, yeah.
Chuck Fucina.
Chuck Fucina with the Philadelphia Stars.
Yeah. Bobby Hebert.
Bobby Hebert with, Michigan Panthers. I loved Hebert and Anthony Carter. Vince Evans in Chicago.
Yep.
You had San Antonio Gunslingers was Rick Neuheisel. Memphis Showboats.
Jim Kelly, right? Or Jim Kelly was in Houston.
Houston Gamblers.
Yeah.
Try this one. Reggie Collier for the Memphis Showboats.
I remember him.
You have Steve Spurrier down there with the Tampa Bay Bandits. Mike Hennessy. Try that on for size.
Get out
for
of here.
For the Portland
you made,
Breakers.
You made that, Nato.
No, Mike Hennessy.
The Portland Breakers. Is that a second tier?
They went Portland, New Orleans, Boston, and some...
They started out in Portland? I don't remember
They went
Portland.
In three cities. The first... If I remember right, the first USFL game was the Portland Breakers versus the LA Express, somebody else. And I remember it was like Mike Hennessy. That's how weird my memory is.
Well, I think we are the guys who's going to get everyone hyped up for this because this is the cure for the NFL hangover. We just came up with the tagline.
The cure. The Alliance. The cure for the NFL hangover.
Yeah.
Oh, can you drop it down? Your voice is kind of smoky nice night.
The Alliance, the cure for the NFL hangover.
Dude, I think you found something there.
Yeah.
And your voice is awesome.
Yeah, this is a...
you should get a disturbingly bad chest cold more often.
Yeah, it's a little Facenda-like. You know, John Facenda, the voice of NFL films from outside of Philadelphia, just like me. Years of whiskey and smoking made him the greatest voice in the history of film.
You kids out there, we're not advocating it. We're just telling you what Mr. Facenda did. All right, let's get into the playoff weekend. I'm going to go step by step. What result would surprise you this most this weekend? Indianapolis, Houston, Seattle, Dallas, Chargers, Baltimore, Philadelphia Eagles, Chicago Bears. Which result would be the most shocking?
I guess the Eagles, it's the biggest spread. I got to tell you, all four games, except the Bears. The Bears are the one favorite I like. All four games, I like the road teams in the first three games.
I see. As a Bears fan, and again, I know I'm probably doing that brake pumping thing to make downplay my own expectations, curb my own enthusiasm, but the defending Super Bowl champs are facing Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, and the champs are, the Eagles are hot, too. Yeah. They're coming in really hot.
And they have total confidence in Nick Foles, I'm guessing.
Sure.
I hate this game for the Bears.
Not a good matchup.
I wanted the Bears to lose on purpose to the Vikings and play them again at home.
They absolutely should have.
How would you have done that?
Well, did they think they still could get the number two seed away from the Rams? Even so, I don't know if NFL coaches are as into that as we fans are. But how about you? What would be your biggest surprise?
I would say Baltimore beating the Chargers, even though the Chargers, they're 12-4, just because this is the first time that I don't think that Lamar Jackson is going to be able to run all day.
Yeah.
They have to force him to pass and get some picks and close them out because their defense is awesome, Baltimore, and they can keep them in that game all day. But this is a big stage for Lamar Jackson.
The reason I like the Chargers, I agree with everything you said, but they just played them and they lost to them. If the Chargers had beaten the Ravens and the game was in Baltimore, right, I would take the Ravens. You don't beat a good team like the Chargers twice in a row like that. And they've seen they've seen that offense. They have a few more solutions. We'll see if the Ravens can take it to the next step.
Want to hear my hot prediction for the weekend?
Please.
Seattle runs for at least 250 yards on the ground, which is redundant, to beat the Cowboys. And I don't think they're going to beat them handily, but I think they're going to beat them, and it's mostly by running the ball. I think Russell Wilson will probably try about 18 passes in the game. And they're going to be leading the whole time because I don't think Dallas has a good run defense. I think they have a fast pass defense.
So does that 250 include Russell Wilson running?
Yeah, the whole team.
Yeah, because I think Russell Wilson's going to use his legs like crazy. I don't think it's a hot take to say the Seahawks are going to win.
Not that hot, but I think they're going to run all over them. I think, again, I don't know if 250 is a high number, but
here's what it comes out to. They're probably the two best running teams in the NFL. The Cowboys and Seahawks. They're basically mirror images of each other. They both have all-world linebackers, Bobby Wagner. But so if everything's even, what's the one factor? Russell Wilson versus Dak Prescott. And you have to take Russell Wilson because of history.
If Russell Wilson gets the ball last, then I don't think they can lose.
Absolutely. But it is interesting. What if the Cowboys get that running game going with Elliott? That's kind of like Seattle.
And I thought Dak Prescott, I knew that game was kind of not that big of a deal last week against the Giants, but I thought that was the best he'd looked all year.
I know. How about that? And Cole Beasley all of a sudden looked like, you know, I always thought Cole Beasley was going to really break out, be like a Wes Welker type.
Oh, nice. Wes Welker.
He's been inconsistent in that offense, and he was dominant against the Giants. Now, by the way, you know who's not playing well? Amari Cooper. Have we heard his name in a month?
He had a really great November.
Yeah, I know. We have not heard his name.
Indianapolis, Houston. I hate to say it. I know Houston's favored by a point and a half, but that's at home, which means they're not actually favored in that game.
I've looked a lot of expert picks. I'd say 65% are going Colts, maybe even more than that.
I like Marlon Mack a lot, the Colts running back. I think he's awesome, and he gets no pub whatsoever.
Yeah, but Lamar Miller is awesome on the Texans, too. Mm. He's good. He's actually pretty good.
Yeah, he's a good
one. I agree. Mack's a little more explosive. But that game could go either way, too. Aren't they the same team, basically?
I don't understand how Houston doesn't own the Colts, because everyone's healthy on Houston. Everybody.
Yeah, but
everybody.
Houston's got some flaws. Their secondary is really bad, is what everyone says, and they're young. So that's where you start. So Andrew Luck's been playing. So if Andrew Luck plays like he's been playing, nobody buys the Texans. Remember earlier in the week, Ross Tucker was on the Dan Patrick Show. He's like, the Texans, it doesn't matter what they do. There's just something. They have the stars. They have J.J. Watt, Deshaun Watson. I can't do it. I need the Colts to advance just for pure sexiness.
And then the teams with the bye weeks right now, Kansas City, L.A. Rams, New England Patriots, New Orleans Saints.
Man. All right, take out the Saints. Three teams with serious flaws right now.
Oh, I don't think the Patriots have any flaws.
Oh, my gosh.
But their flaws are chronic flaws. They have an average defense. They have a whole mishmash of guys who are actually kind of healthy right now in offense.
They are a little healthier.
Josh Gordon's gone, which means that Julian Edelman will probably have 13 catches per game. I put the over-under on 10 catches for Julian.
Yeah, Edelman's on fire right now. But Gronk looks like he's still hurt.
All right. Before we wrap up the NFL, I want you to go on record. You've been hinting all week at this white-hot take that the Kansas City Chiefs will not win a playoff game.
Yeah, so they haven't won. I don't have the stat in front of me in Kansas City since 94. Mm-hmm. They've lost their last six games. As you and I have discovered, they're a home team when it's warm out. They're basically on the road playing at Arrowhead. They are just not big game. And also, Andy Reid, I've seen this movie before, starts out 8-0 or whatever they were. Then you can only make your playbook so big. At some point, everyone's going to know what you're doing. Then they lost Kareem Hunt, who's fantastic. So they have everything is pointing towards Kansas City disappointing the playoffs, isn't it? A scheme heavy team.
Everyone's on their bandwagon. No
one's talking about them right now as a postseason favorite, are they? I mean, even though they're number one seed, I don't think people are saying, "Oh, Kansas," because they look at their last half of the season, they've been either winning close games or losing.
I think that Chargers game a few weeks ago kind of cooled them off.
Yes,
everyone saw what the Chargers did with them, and it was a really tight game, but it kind of cooled the Chiefs' bandwagon off a little bit.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like when you needed a first down from Mahomes, he couldn't get it. I feel like everyone's like, "Ah, we've kind of figured out the Chiefs." I don't see, and then the same thing with the Rams, almost exact mirror image of the Chiefs. You know, they've cooled off. They're a scheme-heavy team. Gurley, if they use Gurley a lot and he's good, that could help.
That was so smart to rest him the past couple games.
But when they rest him, they're not as good.
Okay, now spillover stuff from 2018. Things that happened in 2018 that are going to catch on in 2019.
Uh-huh.
The no-look pass by the quarterback. Patrick Mahomes has been doing this every week, and he did it last week. What he does, he sometimes rolls, and he keeps his head towards the center of the field. And he throws to, like, the left flat or right flat or some combination of that. But his eyes are going one way. His head is going other. He's basically baiting the safeties to stay with where his head is pointed as he throws across his body to the other side. I think this is going to catch on.
Totally. It's a terrible idea.
Yes.
It's like Odell Beckham's one-handed catch.
Which, I mean, is the norm now.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I think it's even actually easier with gloves to catch a ball one-handed than a no-look pass. I think it's going to catch on.
Yes.
And then someone's going to throw an interception or just at the wrong time, and coaches are going to be like, do not do that.
Yeah, the no-look pass is going to catch on.
I know what another one you're going
for. Go ahead.
Because you mentioned on the Dan Patrick Show this week, the try to hit your head on the backboard when you're blocking a shot like Zion Williamson did.
Try to. Now, Zion Williamson, I'm going to throw the BS flag. He hit his right bicep, tricep, just because it got there before his head did, but his head was at rim level almost.
Zion Williamson, just looking at photos of him is exciting. There has never been. But what happened? It's been like, what is January 3rd? It's been like 3 or 4 weeks that we haven't been hyped up because we've gotten busy with football. That's going to be something that's going to wait till football's over. Then it's going to become Zion time.
Yeah, because I think that the Duke Blue Devils have 31 national TV games this year, which is nuts. They only have 34 games.
But we're not paying any attention quite yet because of football.
They played a lot of mishmash of teams, and they haven't gotten into the ACC schedule yet. That starts this week.
Yeah. It's going to be great. It's such a one-team sport right now. Then we'll get into March, and we'll learn our teams. I like Wisconsin in the Elite Eight. I don't even know who they're playing or if they're good.
This is going to – every year, one of the favorite things that the Leisuremen do here at NBC is chop up the draft. And remember we did our bus metric with quarterbacks?
Yeah.
And – Baker Mayfield had the most red flags around him last year when we did our bust metric. This year it's going to be really weird because right now we don't know who the top five quarterbacks are. I think we know who the top five quarterbacks are for the draft, but the jockeying for position is just about to start.
Right. Actually, instead of a bust metric this year, we should do a good metric because there really isn't that much out there that indicates these guys are going to be that great. Now, Dwayne Haskins, 50 touchdowns. His numbers are just so overwhelming.
Dwayne
he's
Haskins,
gotta be good.
The good thing about Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State, he's left them nothing to criticize.
I'll criticize him. If you want, look at his highlights from the bowl game. He's never throwing to a man who's covered. Ohio State's offense is crazy.
Right, but your criticism is so deep that the average person won't get it. It's like you're saying he had it easy at Ohio State facing these defenses who couldn't keep up with his receivers.
Absolutely.
But
yeah. Can I go one? It's sort of a related hot take, and I've been holding it back. Kyler Murray shouldn't have been the Heisman. That should have been Tua Tagovailoa.
You said that before.
Because Murray was throwing a wide-open guy. It was that Oklahoma offense is so potent that and it's great. He's unbelievable at it. I do not think that'll quite work in the pros because
– Oh, no.
I mean, what? So we've had two Oklahoma Heisman winners in a row. If somebody puts up huge numbers next year, then it's going to be like, wait, what's going on here?
We thought that Lamar Jackson was too slight to play in the pros at 6'3", 217. This guy is 5'9". He told us on Dan Patrick Show, 5'9", 185. That's 32 pounds less and 4 inches shorter.
What about Tua? Everyone's talking about him as a draft pick. Is he big enough? I think he is.
I think he is, too, because he rolls a lot. And remember Drew Brees told us once on the Dan Patrick Show, nobody can see over the lineman. What you do is you adjust to slots in your vision, and you either can do that or you can't. He goes, I know I can't see over a 6'5 offensive tackle, but I'm absolutely sure that Eli Manning at 6'4 can also not see over that tackle.
Exactly. By one Leisuremen trend that is now proven. Sure, quarterbacks are fine. Because Baker Mayfield's awesome, and he's not tall either. Remember we saw him at the Super Bowl last year?
It's the opposite.
He's just a guy.
If you're over 6'5", you're a damaged goods as far as the NFL.
Yeah, well, Justin Herbert, 6'6", the Oregon quarterback.
He better get shorter fast.
Yeah, can he do anything? Maybe take out a backbone or something?
Right, or like, you know, what if you wore like to the combine sweatpants, real baggy ones, and follow it. I'm just going to stand up here.
Yeah.
And just kind of like crouch down a little bit, like something's in your
No, yeah, because you don't want to hear the dreaded two words that no quarterback wants to hear, Brock Osweiler.
No, the Brockweiler.
You do not want the Brock Osweiler or Paxton Lynch.
Oof.
No. Tall quarterback. So short quarterbacks are in.
Yeah.
Who's short? Well, yeah. So Tua will eventually. But then Trevor Lawrence might be 6'6 from Clemson, and he's the number one. Maybe we're being heightist, but opposite heightist. Maybe we're too hard on the tall quarterbacks right now. Maybe we've gone too far.
It's about time tall people get their comeuppance because you guys have had it easy for years.
Yeah, I'm 6'4", and I got to be honest, it has a lot of advantages. I can reach top shelves. I'm very valuable to have around the kitchen.
What about pant purchasing?
It's gotten better in recent years, more European cuts. I'd like to go to H&M and fits my physique well. When I was a kid, it was hard to find clothes that fit. But it's all good now. You're a perfect height. Like, you have nothing to be embarrassed about.
Even 6 foot, I'll never complain about it.
Yeah, and you could be in the NFL now, except for your complete lack of football ability. Yeah.
I'd be good at reading defenses, but I wouldn't be good at like taking the snap, dropping back and throwing it or moving in the pocket.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what quarterbacks they're looking for, a guy with one eye so he can scan the field and not see. It's hard enough to see the guy coming from the
right.
blind side when literally you are blind on your blind side.
Yeah, but that would
You'd
hurt.
You wouldn't even be allowed to play that.
But I would win the Heisman because that Kyler Murray could eat it. I mean, can you imagine a quarterback with one eye playing well in college? I would crush the Heisman. That storyline?
We're getting way too hypothetical here.
All right, anything else before we wrap up? Show one, year three of the Leisureman on NBC Sports Radio, NBC Podcast Network. Anything you want to go over personally? Any advice for how to have a more leisurely year?
I don't have that. I was going to, and we could save this. I was going to throw this to you because, again, to College and Pro, if you had an opening, say Brian Kelly took the Bucks job, Notre Dame was open, and Green Bay Packers are the top NFL job was open, which would you want?
That is really tough. I don't think I want to recruit.
Yeah.
And that's what it all come down to. Just with the pros, you kind of know the landscape, and you don't have to out-recruit Nick Saban. You just have to make your choices better.
It's very competitive at those top
schools.
Not that the NFL isn't, but I think NFL is maybe a little easier of a job in a weird way.
I wouldn't want my livelihood to hinge on a 17-year-old's decision and be having to drive around the country to do that, even though I love college football.
I mean, in Notre Dame, you grew up, that would be obviously the pinnacle.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, I would probably take the pro job.
All right. Leisureman tip for 2019, I'm going to say sleep more. A good night's sleep is fantastic. I'm not going the Mark Wahlberg, go to bed at 7:30, wake up at 4 thing. But the other night, I went to bed at 9:15.
Yeah.
And I woke up 8.5 hours later, shot out of a cannon, and I didn't have any coffee. The whole day was better.
Once again, we're a sexy, skewing younger podcast. So that advice,
a good night's sleep.
Maybe have an herbal tea before you go to bed.
But I'm not talking weekends. Weekends, live it up, you know?
Talking like J.J. Watt, like power sleep.
Yeah, like organized sleep patterns.
Have you read that effective people have to wake up by 5:30, by the way? That's a hot new trend.
So that means I've been ineffective since birth.
Well, now you're close to it. Highly efficient people get up super early. So just think about that.
All right, that's the Leisureman Podcast. Yeah. Thanks for listening to Pabst and Perloff. Download, subscribe, review, all that good fun. All of management is coming down to watch the show. It's really great that the NBC Sports Management has come down here, the bigwigs.
Yeah, and they got to hear the red hot sleep segment.
Yeah, that get more sleep bit that should really get the younger demo.
Totally.
Thanks for listening to Leisureman. We're done.